Hey gang, we all know Spotify is the best and most popular music streaming app. They have millions of songs by millions of artists available at your fingertips. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify also has thousands of podcasts? That's right, there are thousands of podcasts on there. Your favorites are on there. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Fresh Air, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and of course, How Did I Get Here? That's right, we are on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, now thousands of podcasts. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys are healthy, safe, and sane wherever it is that you are. I hit a wall, guys, on Friday. I hit a wall and I sunk down. I didn't really have anything to do on Friday. And when I woke up in the morning, I woke up like a lot of us have been waking up probably lately. Just like you open your eyes and you're like, oh man. Oh yeah. You know what I mean? And then you do all these things to try and get out of it. You take sanity walks. I talked about that on Friday. I took sanity walk on Friday. I almost took a second sanity walk, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. This sanity walk only brought so much sanity. It wasn't enough to carry me through the day. So I came back and I was like, well, why don't I just give in to it? You know what I mean? Like when you can't get out of your funk and you're like, maybe I just need to get into my funk to get through the funk, you know, maybe there's no getting out of the funk unless you go through the funk. That's what I thought would happen. Then as the day went on, I ordered pizza. That added to the depression of the whole thing because then I felt gross, felt sick to my stomach in the middle of the night. Anyway, so I did hit a wall. I'm sure a lot of you are hitting walls. I'm back. I woke up on Saturday with purpose again, with feeling. I got to do something. I got to get out there. I got to get some podcasts going. I should make some music. I should clean up my house, do a spring cleaning. Did all this kind of stuff. I'm going to be on this podcast tomorrow on Tuesday. I don't know when it comes out, but it's my friend Gunter's podcast. And you talk about your five like desert island albums. And so trying to figure out your five albums has been something I spent Saturday doing. Do you know what your five albums are? I mean, that's a hard fucking thing to do, man. And then you realize, you're like, wow, do I only like one kind of music from one era? And then you start thinking about it, and you're like, well, if I really was going somewhere, I'd want some kind of diversity. What are my favorite albums from every genre? And then you're like, well, that's weird. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's very hard to define what your top five albums would be, being a music fan who has hundreds of favorite albums. I mean, I have hundreds of favorite albums. Hundreds. What could I bring? A playlist? Maybe I'd bring that. You know what I mean? So it's hard to think of it as in albums. Speaking of which, today's guest, Billy Wilson from the band Latin at Heart, just dropped their first single, Where Love Can Stay. That's right. Yeah, they just dropped their first single. He's been playing around town for a while. Latin at Heart's been around for a while. I've seen him around, talked to him for the last, you know, few years. Different gigs, you see him at different shows. He's out there meeting people, trying to get his thing going, and he just released their first single. It's called Where Love Can Stay. You can find it wherever you stream your music. It's available everywhere, Spotify, all the places. You can also find them at Latin at Heart, their website. They have a lot of videos up there. You can see what they're like live because you can't go out and see music now. And that's the thing, is that Latin at Heart has been a live band for over 10 years. Out there playing shows, slugging it out. No record to promote, just slugging out shows, putting this band together. He has a very, very, very unique way of rehearsing. I don't know if I could do it, but he explains it. It's a lot of work, but he puts a lot of work into what he does. And he's a great dude, man. Billy Wilson from the band Latin at Heart. We have a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you stay safe and enjoy me and Billy. Let's get down.
sliding the collar down the street. When people left, you said we'd meet.
Yeah, all the excitement.
You know, there's a lot of excitement.
There's a lot of excitement. That's one. That's a good word. I haven't heard it used yet for this.
And it's sort of a nervous or anxious form of excitement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great good time of excitement.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you? How long have you been just like indoors hanging out?
I have done the social isolation thing primarily. I leave for the occasional doctor appointment if I have to. And that's pretty much it. I'm using a favored delivery from HEB, which is working really good for me.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great, man. So you are releasing music during this time?
Well, you know, it had to be done sometime.
Yeah. You had it set up to go. I know that there's a few people I've had, like Eliza Gilkison, Allie Holder, all these guys on the show that are releasing their records because they were already coming out. And you know what? The one thing about it that I think is good is that you probably have a real captive audience right now.
Well, that could be true. You know, what else are they going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're dropping a single, Where Love Can Stay. And this is your first official release. You got videos on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
And you got some music on your website.
And it's all live, recorded live, and none of it has ever been a formal release that's going to be like on Spotify or iTunes or something like that.
Okay. But this is Where Love Can Stay is your first official
release
for Latin at Heart.
That's right.
Okay. You excited?
I am. I'm excited in
for people to hear it.
I do want people to hear it, and I think it is representative of what we sound like and what we do. I decided to release this particular track because the performance of it was pretty close to right on by most of the players.
Yeah, they're kicking ass.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, as you know, when you record live, there's, you know, a whole two measures where the keyboard player was on the wrong chord, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or the drummer hit an extra, snare hit where it shouldn't have been. And you're kind of going, well, how are we going to fix that in the studio? And I decided, you know, this one didn't have too many mistakes.
Right. And so you did, it was recorded by Kurt Ganim. And it was it recorded multi-track?
Yes, sir.
And, so you took those multi-track files, and there was a guy that edited it and mixed it, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Collins.
Okay.
Has his own home studio, Bayou Media. Mike Collins, he and I have worked together on those YouTubes that are on the website, and that kind of thing.
So this band has been around for 15 years, am I right?
The work on the project has been 15 years. I would say that the band, which, as you're saying, that's a story in and of itself. But Latin at Heart performing on stage at this level is about 10 years old.
Okay. What was happening in the 5 years before that?
Planning my escape from a divorce. And in other words, before the divorce, I was already thinking about what am I going to do, you know, with the rest of my life. And so I started saying, okay, I think I'll do music, which is something that I've started doing when I was 2 years old. And so I started conceptualizing, having a vision, writing songs, going into town, going to the clubs, meeting people, shaking hands, watching other bands play, et cetera.
Yeah, I've seen you over the years a lot at shows, and you're very friendly. You're a nice guy.
So are you, Johnny.
Yeah. You definitely make it a point to introduce yourself, and you do involve yourself in getting out and seeing other bands and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
So I know this story is going to be rich, but let's quickly stay with this band thing real fast before we go back, okay? For my sake. You have a unique way of you sent me a great deal of information, and in one of the paragraphs you talked about how you review the shows. So you record every show you play on 24 track, and then you make mixes with everyone's individual instrument featured a little bit louder in the song or in the show or whatever. And then you put it on SoundCloud links, and everybody goes and listens to it and kind of gets a chance to refine. Is that because you don't get a chance to practice very much?
Yes.
That is a lot of work, Billy, man. That's crazy.
Well, every Latin and Heart show has to be great. And the musicians that play, as you know, are some of Austin's best. Yeah. They get up there.
Yeah.
They all are trained musicians that can read sheet music. So the idea is to put as good a show as possible, and yet they're in multiple projects, which means they cannot be playing many shows with me. They cannot rehearse with me. So what they have to do is they have to do homework. Then we do one rehearsal, and boom, the show.
Hmm. Well, I mean, you do have pretty badass musicians. A couple of them I know. A couple of them I don't know. I don't know the guitar guy with the long hair.
Cepho.
Okay. Where's he from? What's his deal?
He's from Spain, and he's currently in Spain, and he had to go back to Spain with his wife, who has a lovely lady named Millie, who is a teacher here in Austin, but they had to go back to be with her mom, who was involved in a health problem.
Oh, well,
But listen, back to the review of the show. So I've recorded every show going back to the days at Momo's, and what happens there is that the what was played is reviewed, and in a certain place, for instance, the guitar player played the wrong chord, or the lead was not quite where it needed to be, the violin, and so forth. So you go back 10 years, and you come back to 2020, and what has happened now is that about 14 to 20 songs are now being played the way I envisioned them when I wrote them. And it's done by reviewing each show, making a correction each step of the way, in some cases with different musicians. So, in other words, a new musician is going to be playing on August the 20th, then played on July the 2nd. But that new musician is going to get the update, is going to listen to the track, for instance, Glee, G-L-E-E, and they're going to listen to what was played on July 3rd, but it's going to be updated by me, and they're going to be told, play in this section here, play this instead of what she played. And then it gets updated, then it gets recorded again, and now you've got the updated version the way it's supposed to be played. And you move forward like that over a period of 10 years.
You're a patient man.
And so finally, now the songs are, a lot of them, I mean, I could, if I had, you know, a ton of money, if I had a sugar mama, I'd go into the studio and I could do a whole record.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. But you're your own sugar daddy. What is it that you do for work? You're a physical.
I'm a case manager. I'm a disability specialist.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a day job, so it's very important, like you're saying.
Are you still working during this time?
Right now I'm at home, staying home from the job. I'm isolating because I have the wherewithal to do that. I have leave from the job.
Okay.
Yeah.
But are you still working from home or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm working on music, man.
Yeah.
I've got
five
new songs I've written for the next season, training all the musicians in the way that you and I just talked about. Every song has to be charted, and then the violin has to be written and charted.
Do you write all the charts?
No, I don't write the charts, but I write all the parts.
Sounds like the opening of your rap song. I don't write all the charts, but I write all the parts.
But I write the drums, but I don't write the drums, but I book a player. For instance, Jeff Botta has been the main drummer for Latin at Heart for all this time. And he...
Phenomenal drummer, by the way.
He's marvelous. He's a marvelous musician.
Yeah.
And so he plays my songs the way I like them played. Like, for instance, at the very beginning, I'd say, yeah, I'm kind of hearing a fill here, like, doo-doop, 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 doo-doop. And he would do the fill, and I'd say, exactly. Whereas if I played with somebody else, they wouldn't do the feel the way I wanted it. So that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't write the drums, for Christ's sake, but I write the violin. I write the leads for the lead guitar. I compose the leads, all the guitar leads. I
noticed that they are intricate. There's not a lot of like noodling, because there's in a lot of songs, there's harmony between the violin and the guitar going on.
Which is written.
Yeah. Almost like a homage to I know this is going to sound funny, but like Thin Lizzy or like Judas Priest or something. I mean, it's not metal, but it has that same sort of intricacy.
Allman Brothers, yeah.
Allman Brothers, there you go. That's probably a little more realistic. I went full metal. So you've got songs you're gonna be doing some more releases throughout the year of singles.
I'm gonna do another single release, I believe, okay. And probably in the same way, and then we'll work toward an EP. Realistically,
yeah. Okay. You talk a lot about being an album rock band.
Yes, I do.
What? It's like because you stretch out songs a little bit more.
I take the liberty to improvise on the theme and which is what, for instance, as an example, a song like "Jungle Land" by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah,
"Jungle Land" is about 7 minutes long, and if you listen to it, it has basically 6 to 8 different parts.
Yeah,
it's got. It slows down. There's nothing but piano. No, no. And it's got him just bellowing out. Then it's da-da-da-da. Then it has this part where it rocks. And then it's got the saxophone solo. And so what he's doing there is he's indulging all of these tangents that he thinks about while he's writing the song. Oh, my God, this would sound good here. Oh, yeah, this sweet thing happening here. And he does it all instead of chopping it out and making the song a top 40 hit type thing that's 3 minutes long, he goes ahead and does it all, and so it's 7 minutes long.
Right.
That's the way I write.
Okay. But releasing one song at a time, like as a single, like isn't that counterintuitive to what you're doing?
Well, I've been told for many years, Billy, you need to go ahead and do a release, man. What are you waiting on?
Right.
In other words,
opinion of
my music colleagues, I was trying to be a perfectionist and trying to do this process that I described to the point that every single instrument was nailed down 100%. And so, and they said, man, just do a single.
Yeah.
Just do a single. So I heard that for 3 years, and so I said, okay, I'll just do a single.
Right. But is Jungle Land, just for argument's sake, would Jungle Land make sense outside of the context of that record if you heard it on its own with no other thing, you think? I mean, I don't know. I react to songs just as songs. I'm just saying this because it seems like the album rock idea is something that you talk about a lot in this bio. And so it seems like things fit with it. To me, an album, like a cohesive piece of work, the things kind of fit with each other. And maybe it's there's a couple of them. Sorry?
Concept album. It's right, called a concept album. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even not so much a concept album as much as a looser sort of thing where the songs kind of go together and sort of like, you do have this shorter, sort of like more accessible kind of tune that sets up this sort of longer Jungle Land kind of idea of a tune.
Yeah.
Right?
I do that in my shows, by the way.
Right.
I do that 2 or 3 times in my live shows, what you're saying.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, man. Okay, so
I can't do it right now. Hey, Johnny, I ain't got time to do it right now, baby. I ain't got the time nor the money.
Yeah.
To execute
a whole record. Right.
On set.
Right. Right. Well, is the album that you're going to come out with or EP is going to have some kind of concept?
Sure.
What is that concept?
Well, all of the songs are songs about love, passion, heartbreak, They're all, it's a love songs thing with big, passionate, musical, you know, intense musical package.
Right. And that's where that's where the Latin comes in, right?
That's where the Latin at heart comes in.
Yeah.
And some of them are in Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah, you started off doing stuff in Spanish, right?
It was 100% in Spanish, my friend. Right. If you go back 10 years to Momo's, we had all Anglos on stage, every song in Spanish. And some of them were ballad-like songs, a whole percent Spanish, and like the audience would just sit there with their mouths open going like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I made a note of that. I said, uh-oh, this song isn't going over. And then we would play other songs in Spanish that, you know, it's kind of like you could do them in any language, but they still work.
Right, right, right.
And I kept those.
Yeah, that's good. To me, the best Spanish music, I'm Cuban. My parents were born in Cuba, but I was born here. But I was raised listening to a lot of that music. And then one thing it is very emotive. It's very passionate. There's a lot of love and there's a lot of heartbreak in those jams.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's such an odd thing because you started playing out later in life. Right?
This was the only band I've ever had in my life. Yeah.
It's pretty badass that the only band you ever had in your life, the bass player is Chris Marsh. And the drummer is Jeff Botta. I mean, that's pretty insane. That's pretty badass. But you said you were playing music since you were two?
I was singing.
Singing. Okay.
I was raised in the Church of Christ, the son of a preacher.
Oh, really?
And so I was in a crib in the Church of Christ every Wednesday evening and twice on Sunday listening to church hymns. And my mom said that I started like making whining music noises before I could talk.
Yeah. That's good. You're a natural.
Well, you know, it was just always around me.
So what's the Church of Christ? What is the, it's a Christian church, obviously. But what separates that from like Catholicism and
it's kind of like the Baptists.
Okay.
It's like you've got Catholicism, you've got Eastern Orthodox, you've got Lutheran.
Right, right.
All these very formal, ritualistic forms of Christianity. And then on the other side, you've got the ones that are more plain, more about reading the Bible and singing hymns and not doing the ritual thing and all the idols and stuff, incense and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, going. What's that? That's a different thing.
Well, they're called fundamental.
Right.
Fundamental.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys traveled because your parents were missionaries
in El Salvador.
Okay. How was that?
That's where the Spanish thing is. See, I was raised about so. From 6 to 13, I was in San Salvador, El Salvador, with a native peer group, listening to the pop songs that were being played on the radio at that time, and singing church hymns in Spanish.
Wow. So you started out, you spoke Spanish, but you still speak Spanish very well, right?
That's right. Fluent Spanish.
Fluent.
And I sang, and I would, and there's this one guy, he was like the Neil Diamond of the time, from Spain, and his name was Rafael.
Uh-huh.
R-A-P-H-A-E-L, Rafael.
Yeah.
And he would sing these big Elvis Presley, Righteous Brothers, kind of Neil Diamond kind of anthems.
Yeah.
And I would walk around and knew singing those, and I knew every song by memory, and I would go to his movies and all that, and that had a big influence on me.
All right. Well, what were you like? What was your job as a missionary? Like, did you have a job in the family?
My job was to be a little kid walking behind going to church.
Okay.
my job was to not embarrass them.
Right, right. Are you still active with your faith?
I am just spiritual, but not religious.
Yeah.
Trying to be a good person and that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of us out there like that.
There we go. Yeah. You know? And plus, I'm a case manager. I mean, I'm a professional people helper.
Yeah.
That's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a good guy. I always thought that anyway. All right. So when did you? So okay. So till 16, you were in San Salvador. Then where did you guys go?
Well, it was 13.
13. Then sorry.
We went to Bastrop. Went to San Antonio. And then I went to college at Abilene Christian University because my parents were Church of Christers, and they said I wanted to go to UT, but they made me go to Abilene Christian in Abilene.
Did they think? Did they think like rock and roll was like, hey, what's going on here? This isn't, you know what I mean?
It was a little, yeah. You know, my mom finally got
suggestive.
My mom finally got into the Beatles in like the early to mid 70s.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Beatles, by the way, Sgt. Pepper was the first album I ever bought.
Oh, really? With your own money? How old were you?
About 12, yeah. 13.
How did you listen to it for the first time? On headphones or on speakers or what was going on?
Dude, on a turntable, man.
Did you have headphones on though?
But no, man. No, you just heard it through the console, through the stereo. You know those old-fashioned ones that were to open up the top and they had the speakers built in?
Yeah.
And I put the vinyl album record on there, and here we go.
Do you remember your experience listening to that record?
It was like, yeah, it was like magic.
Yeah.
It was like magic. Because, see, my mom listened to Rachmaninoff.
Right.
And Stravinsky and Debussy, Tchaikovsky. She was big into the melodic composers, in other words, late 1800s on into the early 1900s, and minor chords. Loved the passionate minor melodies, which is what influenced me also.
Yeah. That's where you get that heartbreak.
That's right. The minor chords. And the Moody Blues, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Are pretty big. Nice in White Satin, Tuesday Afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Those songs that have that, you know, that stuff.
The Mellotron.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you bought that record. You were living here when you bought it?
No, I was in San Salvador.
Still San Salvador.
This is 1968?
Yeah, yeah.
68. So I was about 11, 12, 13 in there.
So when you moved here, did you find other rock and roll that you connected with?
Well, what happened? Okay, so we moved here, and I had to pretty much, my dad was in the process of dying from kidney failure, and I was re-acculturizing, not a good word, I was getting myself back into it.
Right, acclimating to being in America again.
Yeah, because I had been totally, I was thinking in Spanish when I was 13. So when I got back here, I had to do all that. I was big time into sports. My first love is playing ball, by the way. And so I had been playing soccer all this time down there. I got back to high school in Bastrop. I had to switch to football. I played high school football here in the state of Texas, San Antonio, all that. Played 1 year of college football at Abilene Christian. Not a whole lot of music was going on except for in church at that time.
Okay.
Singing in church, and I would lead singing in church, by the way.
When you went home and listened to music, or when you drove in your car and listened to music, what were you listening to? You were listening to church music?
I was listening to FM radio in San Antonio.
Okay.
Which at the time was album rock.
Yep. By the way. There you go.
And the DJs could play whatever they wanted. If they liked the third song on the second side of the Eagles' Hotel California or the New Boston record or whatever, they'd play it.
So you were indulging in the just sort of the, but did you go to shows? Did you go to any concerts or?
My first concert was Johnny Winter.
Yeah, there you go.
at the San Antonio Coliseum with Brownsville Station opening.
Hell yeah. Is that Brownsville Station Smoking in the Boys' Room, guys?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So when you went to Abilene Christian College, what was your major? What were you going to do with your life?
I was going to be a psychologist.
So how long did you go? Did you graduate? Did you get a degree?
I did. You know, I went all 4 years. I got married 2 years into my high school sweetheart. So starting at 19 years old, I had to go to college and work full time. And she did the same, of course, and we managed to keep that boat afloat. It wasn't easy. And then when we were both 21, we moved here to Austin.
Okay, so have you been here since then?
Yep. 1980.
All right,
I'm 63, dude.
That's right, man. Congratulations. You look good.
You know, it's been a road, Johnny. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So you moved to Austin, 1980. Was any of the culture going on here, like music stuff? Did you get involved seeing any bands or anything like that?
I was too busy working at that time, surviving. Okay. My head above water. Yeah.
What were you doing for work?
I was working I moved here. I worked at Austin State School as a dorm aide. During the day, I went to the University of Texas School of Social Work. That lasted about 6 months. It was just too much. I had a house payment, two car payments. My wife was going to graduate school and working also. So there was not a whole lot of time for anything but school and work for the first couple of years.
So when did music get you? And you were like, I gotta start doing this.
Well, okay, so I didn't do a whole lot of music. Yeah, I mean, I would pick up my guitar. My mom, so we've skipped a step. My mom started teaching me the ukulele when I was 5 years old. Then from ukulele, I went to a four-string baritone. From a four-string baritone, I went to a small six-string. Then they had the best guitar maker in El Salvador make me a beautiful handmade guitar with all special woods that back in 1968 cost $700.
Jesus.
Okay? Wow. And I took a couple of years of classical guitar lessons. Then we had to move back at 13, and I've already told the whole...
Right. Okay.
Okay, now we go to divorce at 25. All this time I am picking up my guitar periodically, but not much. And then I married second time. I had a son born. He's now 33 and doing fine, Clay Wilson. And while he was being taken care of by my wife, she quit work. And I learned a bunch of cover songs and went out and did what my musician friends have referred to as wallflower music.
Yeah, yeah. The restaurants and the hotel lobbies and the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, furniture music. And, like, I had this gig at the Driscoll Hotel that was 4 hours from 9 until 1 in the morning.
Jesus.
And so I would work my job all day, go home, do dinner, do the family thing, load up, go do the Driscoll Hotel, get home at 2 in the morning, get up at 6 in the morning, and I played 4 to 5 nights a week for 4 years while she was at home, you know, to supplement the income.
Right.
And then when she went back to work, I basically was fried. I was just so fried. I sold every single thing that I owned that had anything to do with music except for my guitar that my parents had made for me when I was 13. And then proceeded to be a dad, you know, and did the Boy Scouts thing, and he played football and all that. So now we get back to the age 47 divorce, and so that's the moment when I actually said, okay, I'm going to, you know, that's when I got a vision, a concept of writing music, creating a show, and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. How did
age 47.
Wow. And then did you start going out and seeing music and stuff then?
Yeah. That's when I started to go into town and see what was happening, see all the different kinds of music that were being played. And the show that I went to, by the way, to answer one of your questions, is I ended up one night driving down South Congress. I looked in the Chronicle for some shows, and I just said, well, this one looks interesting. So I stopped into El Sol y la Luna, across from the Continental Club.
Yeah.
Walked in there, and Patricia Vaughn and Bobby LaRoche were doing their duo.
Yeah.
And this is 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were just doing, she was doing the shaker, he was on guitar, and they were doing their own songs, and some of them were in Spanish.
Yeah.
And that sort of gave me the idea about what I could do. And then, of course, then they started to open for Del Castillo. And when I went into Antone's and saw Del Castillo, that was the thing that really...
That got you going.
That really sparked me.
Yeah. Those guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just went out and started doing it. You put the band together and you showed them songs.
I had to write songs first.
Right.
I had to write songs first. And my songs were going to be, one of the things that I go to great lengths to do is that what I do is needs to be different than what other people are doing.
Right.
So I said, okay, so if I want to write a songs in Spanish, what are my songs going to sound like that would be different from what Patricia Vaughn does and what Del Castillo does? So I had to put a lot of thought into that. I had to have lyrics. I had to have melodies. I had to say, okay, are we going to rock this? Are we going to folk this? Are we going to cumbia this? Are we going to saw? What are we going to do? So all of that stuff had to take place. And that's really what I did for about 5 years.
Sat around, wrote songs. You got together with people.
And listened, went into town to get ideas, okay? Okay, this guy's playing drums like this, but okay, this bass and this drum, okay, and starting to think about, okay, how do I want, what do I want the platform of my music to be?
Yeah.
Took a long time.
It does take a long time, doesn't it?
Yep.
So how are you feeling now?
I feel now that it is what it is. That's what I've come to realize. It is what I had in mind. I remember I even texted you one time, and I asked you, because I had been to some Skyrocket shows, and I was hearing this low, you know, like almost like a dub bass on some of the songs, and I remember texting you and asking you, how do you make that happen? Because I wanted the music of Latin at Heart to have this big bottom
right.
sound, you know.
Right.
And you told me how you do it, and I asked lots of different people, so I've incorporated that, and so Latin at Heart has a bass that's being played thick, a keyboard player that's using the left hand sometimes to create a bass pad,
uh-huh.
and so on.
Yeah.
All of that has been given thought.
At those rehearsals, since you have just one rehearsal after watching or after listening to the songs and stuff like that, you get together, you have that rehearsal.
Everybody has done their homework, and in some cases I've met with each musician individually.
Right.
To go over their homework with them and to, okay, let's play through this, see what's going on here.
Right.
And that everybody is pre-rehearsed before the rehearsal.
You put a lot of work into this, man.
Well, you know, I want Latin at Heart to sound a certain way. I mean, and I want it to be different. I want it to have its own unique sound, and that's how I've been able to accomplish that, because these musicians have not played in a band like Latin at Heart before.
Right. Do you do any home recording?
Home recording. I record. For instance, the way the violin part is written is I will play the song while singing the violin part. That is an MP3 that is then sent to the strings chart guy, who then charts the violin part for the entire song. And then the violin player gets that chart and simply has to do a little rehearsing ahead of time and then sight reads it for the show.
Right. So you don't like record with like a, you know, program some drums and do a bass.
No, I write the songs in my head.
Okay.
I write the songs in my head, just me and a guitar. It's very painstaking because I have to know what the drummer's going to do. I have to create the space in my head. I count it off myself, my foot hitting the floor without any drum machine, without any pre-recorded. I write it all, and I write my songs in a vacuum, by the way. I never listen to something else first and then say, hey, I like this. I think I'm going to go write a song that sounds like that. I don't do that.
You sound like you adamantly don't. You don't like that when people do that?
No, I can understand that would be fun, and that some people would use that method. I just happen to I want to be creating something that is, I guess I consider it to be pure and unique to me.
Sure. I know, I mean, I try to not ape the things I like to hear. You know what I mean? When I'm writing, I catch myself sometimes. Sometimes. I just, you know, like, okay, well, so what? I mean, because sometimes, like, you know, like a song like Please Please Me by the Beatles. Those guys were trying to rip off Roy Orbison. When you know that and you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a Please Please Me, oh, yeah. Like, you could totally hear him say that. But at the same time, it's so uniquely them because it's run through their filter that you don't, when you first heard that song, you didn't go, Jesus, they're ripping off Roy Orbison, you know?
That never occurred to me when I heard Please Please Me. To me, it's totally different from anything else that anybody's ever done.
Yeah. It's weird. There's a famous story about that song, Stand Back by Stevie Nicks. You know that song?
Stand Back.
Okay, so she was driving home from somewhere, and she heard Little Red Corvette for the first time in her car. Uh-huh. And she kind of felt what the changes were. I mean, she didn't use the exact chords, but the changes are the same, if you know what I mean. And she went home and wrote a song to the changes of Little Red Corvette, but then got Prince to come and play keyboards on it. So that's Prince playing keyboards. Prince.
Oh, yeah.
She stole his thing and then invited him to come and play. But there's stories of all kinds of stuff like that. Anyway.
The synthesis works and creates something, though, that is different,
What do you listen to? Like, when you go to listen to music now, like, what do you listen to?
I rarely listen to music. When I'm in a car, I'll usually play, on rare occasions, I'll play something like, I'll go to KGSR, I'll go to Sun Radio, I'll go to KLBJ, The Bat. I have a tendency to stay. I mean, I'll turn on some of the new music, and frankly, it's just, I can't listen to it for more than about a minute, and then I'm back to the stuff that I like better. But I'm constantly working ideas in my head. I mean, I ruminate a lot, and like, for instance, I posted on Facebook yesterday, ABBA's "Knowing Me, Knowing You," and
amazing
I listened
song.
I just love that song, and I ended up listening to it 5 times in a row.
Yeah,
and I ended up dancing in the room to it.
There you go.
You know? So, I don't know.
That is a great
show. I go on YouTube benches sometimes. You know, binges. And that's why I mentioned Jungle Land. And then I'll go listen to some Fogelberg. And then I'll go, of course, then I'll run into some Beatles. And after I do, then I have to listen to some Beatles for a while. And then I'll listen to some Eagles. Like, I was writing this once. Okay, so I was writing envisioning the keys part for one of my new songs. And I said to myself, how would I express to Coleman Berg, he plays the keys for me most of the time for Latin at Heart. And I said, I think it would be kind of like the Eagles, I Can't Tell You Why.
Yeah. Doom, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then, you know that high strings pad?
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's beautifully done and comes in at just the right time. And so I told Cole, I think that's what I want you to do for this song is just like what the Eagles did in I Can't Tell You Why. But I don't write music. So the only way, that's how I do use songs to express to my players what I have in mind.
Right.
Yeah.
The reason why I was asking you about home recording earlier is because the way that I do it is, I mean, you can't see here, but the way that I've got guitars,
mm-hmm.
bass, pianos, recording situation.
Yeah.
And I have drum machines, a couple of drum yeah. machines. I have this this drum pad thing where I can play the drums, or I'll go somewhere and play the drums live. Not that I'm a great drummer or anything, but in that mm-hmm. way, I kind of lay down my ideas of what I want to do and sure. what I think people should do, and then I present them that way. That's yeah. that's what I was asking you about home recording. Like, if you do any, like, yeah. four-track, it would. That's how I started out, was on four-track cassette.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. I've had to incorporate, as we've already discussed, a different method, because I don't have... I can't play the drums for anything except for slapping my thighs. I can't play keys. I don't. The only thing that I play is guitar.
Right. Yeah. I dig it, so man.
I've been limited in that respect, and so I've adopted this other method that we've discussed to get it across. But like I said, I can't tell you why is what I told Cole. Hey, that'll work great for that song.
Yeah. And it did. Did it?
Well, we haven't put it together yet. I'm having to do this all remotely now.
Are you? Right.
Like so, Steve Zirkle just charted my latest song last night. And I sent him recordings of it, MP3 recordings of it. And I sent him three different ones. One of them was me singing the song. One of them with me just strumming the song without me singing. And then a third MP3 that has chords played slowly and clearly, so that he knows what they are.
Okay.
And he charts the whole song, rhythm, on sheet music. He writes it out longhand. I mean, literally sits down and writes sheet music from what I play.
Yeah. Wow.
And that forms the backbone. And then we build on that.
Right. So the single... the single will have come out by the time this comes out, right? The single comes out. Did you want this to come out before the single comes out or after?
Why don't we do it to where it comes out like the day after? Because, yeah, I want it to be fresh.
Sure. What's the 25th? What, you know what day? We'll figure that out. 25th
is when the track goes live.
Right, right.
On Spotify, iTunes, and Apple. But I'm not going to actually, I'm told by Amy Lombardi of TuneCore that yes. I'm not actually have the links for sharing with the public until the day after.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, once we get the thing up, let's do it afterwards, so that way people can go there and just listen to it right after they hear our conversation.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. So are you doing any live streams during this time of you can't get out and play with the band? Do you do solo stuff at all?
Well, I don't, because I feel very awkward and don't really know how to do live streaming. I was going to do a live streaming show at 1-to-1 on April the 25th. However, you know, 1-to-1 Bar is not doing that anymore. They're shut down for, I think it's through May. And then, and I'm so busy getting my show ready for when we actually do a live show, which is tentatively scheduled for June the 20th at Guero's on a Saturday night. That would be, of course, at this point, no way to know whether that's going to happen. And then possibly doing the release show at 1-to-1 on July the 3rd.
Okay. Well, right on, man. I think that's fine, man. We're all, everybody's pushing back their thing. And, like, you know, there's a lot to figure out right now. It's a good time to write songs. It's a good time to work on your releases, reach out to some socials, and do stuff like this, like the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Dude, yeah.
I've written, by the way, I've sent press releases out to all the main outlets, the media. You know, I'm following up on that and hoping to get interviews and to get the song played, you know, once it's released or maybe shortly thereafter,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
See what we can get done. And in the meantime, I'm posting a Latin at Heart, like sharing memories, putting a YouTube
right.
out on my page.
Yeah, you have some well-produced videos on there.
Yeah, so just doing stuff.
live videos. You can get out there and check them out. You just go to latinatheart.com and get involved there. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff I'm missing, but you think we covered, we did it? We did it, right?
I think we're good. Chip Dolan, by the way, said hi.
I love Chip.
Yeah, I live with him.
Oh, no way. I love that dude.
He's married now, so I live with a couple.
Oh, that's good.
But I've got a room on the second story, upper right, second story, and I've got all my stuff in here, my TV, my computer. You know, I live in this room.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you're staying safe and quarantined and doing the thing, and people can find you at latinatheart.com. Go see some videos and check it out. It's good having you on, Billy.
Johnny, I appreciate it so much.
Thanks for doing the show, buddy.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Maybe another day. My pal Billy Wilson from the band Latin at Heart, their brand new single Where Love Can Stay is available now wherever it is that you stream and download your jams. Find them at latinatheart.com. You can see some videos there of them playing live, which is, I guess, what we're going to have to deal with until people can start playing live again. But congratulations to Billy on putting out the single. I know he's been working at this for a long time. You heard his whole story. He's out there. He's out there, man. He's playing. As soon as people are able to play, he'll be back with his band. You'll see. Latin at Heart. Find them at latinatheart.com. Their new single, Where Love Can Stay, available now everywheres. All right, gang, thank you so much for listening to the show. When you're out there checking out latinatheart.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you stream your podcast, gang. You can do this on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, TuneIn, anywhere you find podcasts. Right now I'm dropping 3 shows a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Pretty soon we'll be going back to our regular two shows a week schedule. It's been kind of crazy juggling all these shows. All right? I want to thank Billy for coming on the show again, taking some time talking to me. And I want to thank you guys for listening, and I hope you're staying safe, healthy, and sane. All right? Here's the rest of the song, Where Love Can Stay, by Latin at Heart. Single's available now. Let's get down. There's a way it can come true. It's on your mind.
Make me crazy, and I will always be this way.